I'm going to tell you a little story. So when I first started in my municipality, I had a manager ask me a question of what is the acceptable error rate in elections. And I remember I was a little dumbfounded by that question because the answer is zero. You're not allowed to make a mistake.
The full and free exercise of our sacred right and duty to vote is more important in the long run than the personal hopes or ambitions of any candidate for any office in the land.
You're listening to High Turnout, Wide Margins, an insider's look at election administration hosted by Brianna Lennon and Eric Fay. This episode was recorded live at the special workshop on state associations in Portland, Oregon, hosted by the Election Center.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of High Turnout, Wide Margins, another exciting episode. I'm Eric Fay, Director of Elections in St. Louis County, Missouri, with my co-host,
Brianna Lennon, County Clerk for Boone County, Missouri.
And we have two guests today on this episode from Michigan. So, ladies, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Okay. Hi, I'm Jackie Boudry. I'm the Ann Arbor City Clerk, and I'm also the President of the Michigan Association of Municipal Clerks.
And I am Melanie Riska. I am the City Clerk for the City of Sterling Heights in Macomb County, Michigan, and I am also the first Vice President of the Michigan Association of Municipal Clerks.
Awesome. Thank you so much, ladies, for joining us today. And as you know, the first question we always have on this podcast is, how did you get involved in elections? So maybe Melanie, you want to start with that one, and then we'll go to Jackie?
Sure. I started back in 2002. This was not my preferred career goal, but I started packing election supplies in the city of Hamtramck, and I just kind of got the election bug, and I was interested in the democratic process. So I stayed there for a while and then was appointed clerk there due to a vacancy. And then I moved from there and was the deputy clerk in the city of Grosse Pointe Woods, which is just a little northeast of Hamtramck. And then after that, I was the assistant director of elections for Wayne County, which is the largest county in the state of Michigan, until I finally came to the city of Sterling Heights in 2016. And that's where I've been since.
I went to Eastern Michigan University, which is in neighboring Ypsilanti, and I majored in public administration. And I didn't really know what that was going to mean. So when I graduated, this will really date me, this was 1998, I found an ad in the newspaper for a deputy clerk in Superior Township, which is right outside Ypsilanti. And I applied and I got the job, and the 2000 presidential was my first big election, and I loved it. And I've been in elections ever since.
We have done episodes with a number of people from Michigan, but can you remind the listeners how the election infrastructure is in Michigan, who's in charge of what, and the decentralization of it?
So Michigan elections are very decentralized. We're run at the local level. So I'm city of Ann Arbor, and the city clerk's office runs not just the municipal elections, but all state, federal, everything within our city limits. Same thing for Melanie in Sterling Heights. We also have township government, and so even the unincorporated areas, townships, also have a clerk who runs elections locally. We do have county government, and our county clerk is responsible for things like ballot printing, the canvas, some poll worker training for smaller jurisdictions, and then, of course, we have at the state level, the Secretary of State's office and the Bureau of Elections overseas at the state level, but very decentralized system. I think we have something like 1,500 city and township clerks.
So in the context of having city election officials and county election officials, and I'm sure this was going to come up anyway, but associations, we have previously talked to people that have associations, and they really only have to work directly with the Secretary of State's office when they're working on something. But you've got city municipal clerk association and county clerk association potentially. Can you talk a little bit about how that structure works as well?
Sure. So the Michigan Clerks, MAMC, we represent city and township. And we do have village members, but they're not involved in elections. And then the 83 counties have their own association where we really come together is on legislative issues. And Melanie can talk about, because she's chair of our Council of Election Officials. That group brings the Michigan Clerks Legislative Committee and the County Clerks Legislative Committees together. And so we do have mutual interests, but there are two associations, basically, and both have a lot of interest in elections.
Yeah. Melanie, maybe talk a little bit about that council, if you would.
Yeah, so we partner, MAMC partners with MACC to hire a lobbyist. And our lobbyist pays attention to all of the new election legislation that is out there. So we review all that legislation individually, MAMC with their legislative body, and then MACC with their legislative body. And then when we meet for CEO, which is Council of Election Officials, the leads of those legislative committees will sit down and kind of go through and figure out what our priorities are as a whole. Because sometimes local clerks have a different perspective than county clerks do. But in order to have a bigger impact on any legislative changes and for our lobbyists to be able to go and lobby on our behalves, like we like to be sort of on the same page. And so we talk things through and then hopefully we can come to some agreement and then go as a united front in front of the legislature.
And I'm sure a united front is ideal. And I'm not asking with this question, I'm not asking to air any dirty laundry, but have there been times when the municipal clerks and the county clerks aren't seeing eye to eye? And if so, how have you managed that dynamic?
There have been times where we don't necessarily see eye to eye. But I think what we've established over the years is it's a very good relationship in that if it affects you as a county clerk, then and it does not affect us as local clerks, we will back off and kind of let you take the lead and vice versa. So while I don't know that we've had anything of recent where there's a really big contentious item, you know what I mean? We understand that, you know, what county clerks go through, locals don't. And, you know, we hope that they understand the same.
Eric, if I could add something. Sometimes I think we also, before we even get to our CEO level at the local legislative committee, we're dealing with large cities. We have city township, and then we have urban and rural. And so sometimes we have to get, you know, kind of our ducks all in a row before we even get to CEO, and we don't always agree with 1,500 members. Sometimes what's best for Detroit, the UP is not necessarily, that's not something of their interest, or, you know, Ann Arbor is a college town, and so sometimes I feel like my interests are different than everyone's. So we even, sometimes I think it's the MAMC that we have to get an alignment at our level, you know, not just agreeing with the counties.
Yeah, I know in Missouri with 116 election authorities, it's hard enough getting everybody on the same page. I can't imagine 1,600. Is that what you said? So,
I was wondering how that interplay of having the different associations and everything with things working so well legislatively. I know Michigan also had a very big election reform package that came through initiative petition. How did the association, or did the two associations work together to figure out how to implement it? Because I know that it impacted both sides of responsibilities.
So which package are you, we've had a lot, which package are you particularly
The most recent one that included like early voting and all of the things that didn't exist before 2020.
Yeah, we had, well, 2018-3, we had same day registration, which was a big change for us. But then 22-2 is what you're referring to with early voting. And that I would say was interesting in Michigan because the law allows locals to have an agreement with the county, and the county can actually run early voting on behalf of one or more jurisdictions within their county. Some of the larger cities like Ann Arbor, Sterling Heights, we've all taken that responsibility ourselves. So we're running our own early voting in addition to vote by mail and election day. We still have election day precincts. For some of the rural small townships, they might have one or two precincts. It actually really made sense that they've collaborated. They can either join a maybe it's five or six townships all get together. They don't have to include the county. They could do it as a collaboration of small jurisdictions, or they can go to their county. In my county in Washtenaw, I think City of Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti Township is one of our biggest townships. We are both separate, and then the county coordinates for, I believe, the rest of the county.
Yeah, and I think if I could just add to that, I think, you know, the passage of early voting and all of these different coordinated efforts has just complicated things a little further, because some counties are not interested in running early voting, whereas other counties are like, we will run the entire early voting. And then, obviously, like Jackie said, you know, some larger communities, even some smaller communities, are like, no, we're going to keep it with ourselves in our own community. But I think it just makes it very, it's complex at this point. So we just added another layer of complexity to our election process.
So I'm trying to understand kind of administratively how this can work with, you know, several municipalities or towns coming together, or the county doing it on behalf of several. So does this mean people from different towns, maybe, and I'm using the word town, I don't know if that's the right word, different jurisdictions can come to one early voting site and cast ballots? And if so, how do those votes get attributed back to the correct township or city or whatever the case may be?
I can speak on that briefly. So while I am like the fourth largest city in the state, we have a local city who borders us, who's very small. They just did not have the resources to do early voting, so we actually partnered with them, and Sterling Heights absorbed their voters. So their voters come to our early vote site. They have a separate tabulator that their ballots go into. We use one poll book because it's connected to our statewide qualified voter file. But at the end of the night, that flash drive with those results on it gets sent down to the county, and then it's uploaded as their results. So we kind of made it so that their voters have their own tabulator, if you will. But we haven't had too much of an issue with people, Utica voters coming to Sterling Heights, because geographically they're relatively close. But I know that some communities in or some townships like in more rural areas, that's a problem when, you know, you're asking your voters to go to a separate township, which could be, you know, a 30-minute drive just to cast your early vote. But, you know, for cost-saving purposes, I think it still is beneficial for them.
So I had misspoke when I said Melanie, like Ann Arbor, was on her own. So she has a partner. Eric, if I can add, so in Washtenaw County, I know that they don't have the separate tabulators. The early vote sites that the county runs, other than Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti Township, any voter can go to any site, and the equipment is programmed to accept all the different ballot styles. But then when the results are uploaded, they're separated out into the various jurisdictions. And then one other interesting thing that's come out of this is, I think that other states, it's like a number of voters, or maybe it's like per jurisdiction or so many miles. Basically, we're left to our own decision making for how many sites that we choose to have. And that's something that's coming out of our first statewide implementation, which was our February presidential primary, that you have counties that have maybe one site. And then like in the city of Ann Arbor, I have six sites just for Ann Arbor voters, and the county has another five or six sites for their county, the rest of the county. So it varies greatly depending on what individual communities chose to do.
Hi, I'm Brianna Lennon, County Clerk for Boone County, Missouri. And you are listening to High Turnout, Wide Margins, a podcast where we explore local election administration.
talking about the dynamic within your state association. You have so many members, perhaps the most of any association in the country as far as election officials go. Obviously, a very large discrepancy between cities like yours that are relatively large, and you have a plethora of very small jurisdictions. How do you manage, if at all, kind of the onboarding of new folks in those really small jurisdictions and, you know, training and things like that?
I think our friends in Wisconsin will
clarify
that. Okay. They have more jurisdictions.
I said perhaps.
Yeah. But we're number two.
Okay.
So it's interesting, and I'll let Melanie talk about, because she was previously education chair for MAMC, but as president, coming from a bigger city and then also a college town that's a lot different than all of the other cities and towns in Michigan, I often find myself saying, well, this is like, am I have my Ann Arbor city clerk hat on or my MAMC president? And so trying to be sensitive to the vast majority of our members come from very small communities. But I'll let Melanie answer about what we do to onboard a lot of our new clerks.
Yeah, our membership has grown. We have nearly 12, probably are now over 1,200 members. And I did find out yesterday that represents 765 local communities, because some communities have multiple members. We've had about a 42% turnover since 2019. And that's, you know, due to people not wanting to get into the industry or retirements, or after 2020, they're like, I am done. I can't do this anymore. And then not only that, but all the legislation that has come down, you know, Prop 2 or Prop 3 of 2018, Prop 2 of 2022, and which has basically fundamentally changed how we run elections and all the options that voters have. So with that comes this influx of all of these green, you know, minds that are coming in that have no idea what they're doing and they need some support. So MAMC, we try to meet those needs for our new clerks, you know, through our institute, through our conference, through our member education days, through the newly deemed lunch and learns from our president, from, you know, we have all of these different training sessions, and we're also kicking off a mentorship program where we're partnering seasoned clerks from like communities. So if you're a large community, you get a large mentee. If you're a small one, you get a small mentee, that sort of thing. Geographical, you know, because somebody in the UP, in the Upper Peninsula, doesn't have the same needs or same questions as somebody in southeastern Michigan. So it wouldn't make sense for me to mentor somebody in the UP necessarily, right? And then a lot of it's just word of mouth. When people come to, when our members come to our education sessions, I mean, we've had reviews saying this was literally life-changing for us. You know, I don't know what I would do without MAMC and without these education opportunities. Then they go out and they talk to new clerks. And I think that's kind of part of the reason why our membership has grown. But it's a challenge. It's a challenge, you know, a lot of rural small townships, you know, they're one-person offices. They don't have funding to be members of MAMC. They don't have, you know, the resources to be able to travel to go to training sessions. So it's we're still trying to figure out how to incorporate those communities as well, because they are a vast majority of our communities. So it's a challenge, but I think our current board and our current membership, we do a good job at that outreach to those new members, because there's a lot to know. And I mean, it's taken, you know, Jackie and I over 20 years to hone our experience and our knowledge base. And, you know, you learn a lot just through experience, which I'm sure you're aware of.
Just a real quick follow-up. One thing we've seen kind of maybe for the first time in Missouri is some of these folks ran for county clerk from a very different background that had nothing to do with the government or elections or anything, and they come to the first training and they're like, whoa, I had no idea this was involved. We've even had people be like, peace out. That's not my thing. So have you experienced that at all in Michigan?
I'm sure we have. I know that when I sit in institute classes with new clerks and they're like, I just got on the job, you know, 3 months ago. And I'm like, so what do you think of it? And they're like, I never knew how much it was entailed in elections, just because of the complexity alone, right? Have we had people, you know, come get elected and be like, no, I'm not doing this anymore? We probably have. I mean, I'm not familiar with any particular person, but
I think some people come in and they're shocked whether they, you know, stick it out. But the elected township clerks have to have a deputy, and so sometimes they're smart enough, like, that deputy has been there and they keep them on board because, you know, they might be the one that has all that institutional knowledge and can help them get up to speed. Because you're right, there's no qualification to run for the office. So a lot of new clerks come in and it's overwhelming.
I do have to say, too, that while MAMC provides a lot of educational opportunities, I think our State Bureau of Elections does a pretty good job. I mean, and they're short staffed too, but I think they do a pretty good job at getting out to our events, putting out information to clerks, you know, and helping. We do have a state accreditation program, which in my opinion could probably be more robust than it is now. But at least it's something, you know, technically you do have to be accredited to run elections in Michigan. But I think there's a lot of opportunities. I think one of the problems, though, is a new clerk comes into office and they don't know what they don't know. So unless they have, like Jackie said, that deputy there, or unless they know another clerk in a neighboring municipality, they don't know where to go and get those resources. So, we want to try to reach out to all of those individuals too that don't even know what resources they have.
And I will say that MAMC, we have our own certification separate from the state, but as Melanie said, there is a partnership with Bureau of Elections. Almost every event we have Bureau of Elections as a session, because we know, especially with the way Michigan, the constitutional amendments are coming at us and then the implementation laws, that our members are wanting to know, how do I implement early voting? You know, what does the poll book look like? And so they're eager for those opportunities. And Bureau of Elections does have a good partnership with us on training.
Sometimes it's not just the overwhelmingness of the job. Sometimes it's the scrutiny of the job that has been scaring people out of office. And I know that we've talked about turnover before, but how are both of you feeling about, I guess, the state of Michigan elections and how... Like, what are you worried about the most with the roles that you're in at the association level?
It's interesting, and I don't remember who I was speaking to at this conference that made a comment about, like, looking statewide. If you have one mishap, even if you're like, oh, I'm so glad that wasn't Ann Arbor, but that they were really, like, pulling in everybody. Like, I have to help all of my, you know, fellow clerks or county directors, that it's a reflection on the whole state. So I thought that was really interesting. And I do feel like MAMC does that with all of our training, and we have opportunities to ask questions and network. But
I think the more educated we can have our clerks be to administer elections, the less... I guess mistakes, if you will happen, which will prevent some of that scrutiny. Because I'm going to tell you a little story. So when I first started in my municipality, I had a manager ask me a question of what is the acceptable error rate in elections. And I remember I was a little dumbfounded by that question, because the answer is zero. You're not allowed to make a mistake. So you have to be an expert in cybersecurity, in physical security, in communications, in ballot prepping, in all of these things, right?
Postal
regulations and project management and interpersonal communication skills, and all of these litany list of things, right? And you're required to be an expert in all of those things. And if you make a mistake, automatically you either have disenfranchised voters or there's fraud in your system, right? So you're not allowed to make a mistake. And it's unfortunate because we are all human, right? And I try to remind people that we're all here trying to do the best job that we possibly can. You've made mistakes too, you know, and are they intentional? No. And are they fixable? Yes. So kind of a long story to kind of circle back around. But I think the more that election administrators, I think the more knowledge they have and the more trained they are, the less likely they are to make just a simple mistake, which it's those simple mistakes that throw you, you know, above the fold on the front page of, you know, your local paper, where you end up on, you know, Fox News, CNN.
What keeps you two ladies coming back to this job in light of everything that has happened since 2020?
It's a fantastic question. I ask myself that every single day. I think what keeps me coming back, in all honesty, are my team and my voters. I know that I know what I'm doing. I know that I'm following the laws. I know that there isn't fraud in our system. I know that we check everything with a fine-tooth comb. And I know that I do a good job. I work for my voters. My team is phenomenal. There's no way I could be here today without the team that we have in Sterling Heights. So I come back, I keep doing it for them, in all honesty.
I would say, like, two answers. As professionally as MAMC president, I didn't, like, really see myself doing this, and there was a vacancy. I was on the board, but there was a vacancy in the vice president role, and I was asked to do it. And then you know where that's leading. You're moving up for third, second, first vice president. And being president has been a real career highlight. I've really enjoyed it. And so the network of clerks really, you know, there's a sense of pride, and we have each other to rely on. Within Ann Arbor, same as Melanie, my team and my voters. And anytime I'm feeling like kind of beat down at City Hall, you go to campus and it's just full of energy and excitement. And so what we do at our satellite offices at the University of Michigan, and our UMich Votes makes it an even bigger team that I have, really makes you feel good.
If I could just piggyback on the, because Jackie touched on being the president of MAMC. I don't know that I don't think I ever had intentions of being on MAMC. And then there was a vacancy and somebody said, hey, well, you should apply. And I did. So I actually got appointed and then was elected. And then there was a vacancy on what we call the shoot, right? Which is the president, first vice, second vice, third vice. And I don't know, as somebody was like, well, you know, you should put your thing in for that. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so then when I looked at the calendar in the succession and saw that I was actually going to be president during 2024, I was like, I don't know, maybe I should switch spots with somebody. But what I can say is my experience being on the board is it really did open my eyes to the variety of clerks that we have. And I was at education for 4 years. There is something completely satisfying and gratifying about being able to talk to other clerks and somewhat mentor them through, you know, all of the opportunities they have and mentor them through their jobs. And I've gotten so many, like, you know, thank yous and emails and stuff saying, you know, you really inspired me and stuff. And that's pretty powerful to me. So
You've been listening to High Turnout Wide Margins, a podcast that explores local elections administration. I'm your host, Brianna Lennon, alongside Eric Fay. A big thanks to KBIA and the Election Center for making this podcast possible. Our managing editor is Rebecca Smith. Managing producer is Aaron Hay. Our associate producer is Katie Quinn, and our digital producer is Mark Johnson. This has been High Turnout Wide Margins. Thanks for listening.